Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening, good evening. I got this email today from Dirshu Gateshead, closely related to one of those very, very esteemed and Choshva members. Lichvoid, all the Choshva, Mesaimim, Maschilim, Dirshu, please forward this email to all of the Dirshu or those who would like to become. Please see the attached flyer, which is what we gave out last week, of the upcoming Dirshu Mishneh Berurah Siyum that will take place this Sunday night, 7:45 to 9 p.m. UK time, on Zoom. Now, here are the Zoom details, especially for the Zoom members. I don't know how to do this. Whoa. That's getting a bit complicated now.
Send an email.
I don't know how to do that. Okay. Yeah. Pesach Hashem. There will be tremendous chizek and will include the Pesach a special video. You know what? I made a few copies. A special video message from Rav Pesach Eliyahu Falk on the Chashivas of Chol HaMoed, a guest speaker, Rav Avraham Reitschli, the Talmid Uvah, Reb David Feinstein, an author of many outstanding practical halachas for him. Please join us, Berov Am Hadas Melech. Okay, gentlemen on Zoom, can you hear me okay? Okay, take a pen and paper, or a digital pen and paper, and take down the following details. On Zoom, meeting ID is as follows: 478-478-2342. Are you with me, gentlemen? Okay, so I repeat, meeting ID is 478-478-2342, and the passcode is 2342. I repeat, the Zoom phone number, I'm not going to repeat, you've got that. And then the meeting idea is 478-478-2342. The passcode is 2342. And it's on Sunday night, 7:45 p.m. till 9 p.m. UK time.
You don't need a link. You just dial that number on Zoom and you're in.
Just dial that number on Zoom and you're in. Yeah, it's like straightforward. We're going to live Siyum of the Year. Whoever wants to come for the hot kugel and cholent, candy provided by who is in charge of food and who is in charge of drink? You're taking charge?
I'm drinks and I'll
go. Drinks, good.
Drinks and laptop.
Drinks and laptop, brilliant.
Ezra's in charge of the food.
Okay.
Right.
What are you? So you're doing the what? What are you doing?
I'll bring a box of biscuits. Big
box of biscuits. We'll go with that. Yeah. And here. You're doing soft drinks as well, or just alcoholic?
Soft as well.
Brilliant. Okay. Anything else? Yeah. Zoom. Are you going to? You're all going to be.
Steven Spry's going to come.
Okay.
He's going to put on his raincoat.
What's the remaining? What should I bring? Projector, that's really cool. Now we're going really fancy. Watch out.
Who's technological?
Who is technological? Jonathan is. Jonathan, are you technological? You'll set it up. Okay, all sorted. Very good. Okay. Fine, gentlemen, we are proceeding. Okay, we are up to Siyum Tov Kuf Chof Zayin. And we are up to Seif Yud Gimel. What we have discussed so far in the halachas of Eruv Tavshilin, we have learned the svar behind it, what we've got to do. We have learned that there is a mitzvah to do an Eruv Tavshilin. We have also learned that there is an option of doing an Eruv Tavshilin through a Rav. We have also spoken about the Shlichus aspect. If a Rav does it, we've spoken yesterday extensively about the concept of being Mizakeh L'Dei Acher. The way it works, you're being marketed to a third party and he is returning it to you, thereby enabling everybody else to be joining into the Erev Tavshilin. Okay, now, new paragraph, new topic within the halachas of Erev Tavshilin, Seif Yud Gimel, page 300. Apal pi although, Shiniach Erev, although you did make an Erev, En yochel levashel miyom tovishn leShabbos. This is addressing the question, can you cook on Thursday if you make an Erev Tavshilin? Can you cook on Thursday? Sorry. Once you made an Eftav Shilin, let's say Yom Tov is Thursday, Friday, and Shabbos is Shabbos. So you've got 2 days Yom Tov following Shabbos. We have learned so far, if you make an Eftav Shilin on Wednesday before Yom Tov, you can that enables you to cook on second Yom Tov,
on Friday
for the Shabbos. Correct. Can I cook on Thursday for Shabbos? Yep. With the Erev Tav Shilin.
Stretching it.
And indeed, that's what Shulchan Aruch says. Aval pi, although Shiniach Erev, Eino Yochel Evashel, you may not cook Mi Yom Tov Rishon, from the first Yom Tov Shabbos to Shabbos. And the reason is as follows. The Takon of Erev Tav Shilin, what is established, specifically for the second Yom Tov. Erev Tav Shilin was never intended and made, and created, and established for cookings on first Yom Tov. So therefore, it's completely awesome. In fact, it could even be bordering on the Derech.
Can you make extra from the first 2 days? From the Thursday...
When are you cooking? You're cooking on Thursday?
First Yom Tov.
You're cooking on the first Yom Tov?
On a Friday morning. And you can also use it...
On Friday you'd be allowed to, yeah.
No, but the following Yom Tov.
Oh, that's the next Shulchan Aruch. Excellent, very good. See if you dial it. I mean, would it work to make that... Mr. Berlin asked the following question. Can you make an Erev Tav Shilin for the next... Yom Tov, say I just can't be bothered. To every single, you know, they come in a row. When there's one Erev Tav Shilin, if Yom Tov falls Thursday, Friday, chances are that another Yom Tov within the same year is also going to be Thursday, Friday. It's such a thing to remember it. It's such a thing, and the reminders and the thing. It's just done. So let me do once for a few Yom Tovim. Let me do it for the whole year. One Erev Tav Shilin, it's going to cover me the next year. Did it work or not? Does it work? No. Shulchan Aruch, im iniach eruv al das lis mecholof. If you make an eruv, al das, with intention, lis mecholof, if you rely on it, kol zman shikayim, as long as this is existing. So once the ed has gone moldy, obviously not, right? It's got to be edible. So kol zman shikayim means as long as the eruv exists and is edible. Yeah, all right. Okay. So as long as it's edible, afil yom tov acher, then you can do it for the subsequent yom tov. You could do lechatchila, ideally, lo yismecholov liyom tovach. Ideally not. It's not great. Avol b'diavad, but if it's b'diavad, yochel yismecholov, you can't rely on it. So, if you've got specific intention, you could, but it's not ideal. Don't do that. The Mishnah Berurah in Seif Katan, Mem Dalet tells us that, according to many opinions, it doesn't work. According to some opinions, it does work. So Shulchan Aruch is making a pshara. He's making a... some holds it does work. It's a minority. The majority hold it doesn't work. So we're kind of making a, you know, all right, don't do it ideally, but yeah, but you're it's a... yeah, so that's what we paskin. But yeah, but so mechinal mekilim. Okay. Now, Seif Tes Vav says as follows. Nechal ha'eruv. What happens if the eruv's disappears. It's eaten up. I was really hungry on Friday. I didn't realize I ate the matzah. It has happened. I've got really hungry kids at home. They go into the fridge and they eat up the egg. No, it could happen. The matzah, you know, just somebody nicks it and takes the matzah. So it's only, you know, you wanted to cook on Friday. You wanted to cook something and suddenly you say, oh no, what's happened over here? The matzah is gone. The egg's gone. So what happens then? Nechla Eruv, if the egg was eaten up, Oshavat, or he got lost. Where's it gone now? I don't know where it is. Koidim Shabbish le Shabbos, before I've cooked for Shabbos. Eino Yochoy Levashel, you may not cook Elohim Kain unless Nishtaya Mimenu Kizais, there's one Kizais remaining. So what does that mean, Tachlis? Tachlis is if the Eruv is, if somebody ate that egg, somebody ate that matzah on Friday before you. So it's finished. That's it. Kizayis is left, you can, it's fine.
What would you do if, let's say, someone put the matzah back in the matzah box and now you're not sure which matzah.
And some matzah were eaten.
Or the egg was put with the other eggs.
With other eggs. And you're not sure if it's eaten, been eaten or
not. No, which egg is there?
Well, that's a good shaila. What do you say? You're right, isn't it? We don't have to know which one.
Yeah, you have to eat all the eggs.
You don't have to eat it. Yeah. So what happens, I think that the question will be an interesting question, what happens if it's gone back into the box and a couple of matzahs were eaten, you just don't know if that was the one that was eaten or not. Or similarly with the egg. Egg has gone back in, even one of, you know, it's gone into, but you, one of the two were eaten, you just don't know. You don't know, if you can't identify whether it's here or not, that's going to be an interesting shayla.
It doesn't so, matter if you don't have to eat it with the
oven. You don't have to eat it, but if it's been eaten already and you want to cook now on Friday, that would be an interesting shayla. Yeah, but you're right. If it hasn't been eaten, you don't have to eat it. Yeah. Okay. What happens on Friday if I've cooked for Shabbos? If I've cooked on Friday for Shabbos, and now I'm really hungry. Shabbos. It's Friday afternoon. I'm desperate for that egg. Wow, that's the egg. With a bit of matzah, I can't. I just can't. I want to eat that. Can I eat it now? On Friday. We said Shabbos, of course it's fine to eat it. It's a mitzvah to eat it. You don't have to, but it's good. What happens if on Friday I eat it? After I've cooked for Shabbos. Can I not?
Can you what?
Can I eat the Eruv Tavshilin after having cooked on Friday?
Yes. You've got stuff left over.
It is Yom Tov. It's Friday. I've finished cooking I've done the cooking for Shabbos. Yes. And now I've got the matzah and the egg lying around. And I'm really hungry.
It doesn't work like yes, why? The food that's extended from it.
Right.
What do you mean extended from today? If it's a dish and you eat half of it.
You made an Erev Tavshilin before Yom Tov.
Yeah. Before Shabbos.
And then you've cooked on Friday morning Yom Tov. Yeah. So it's like you've added onto that meal. So whatever started off, you've just eaten
that. So the halacha is as follows. Tes Zayin. After having prepared the Tzorkei Shabbos, the needs of Shabbos, Yochol, you may le'ochloi eat it. There you go. You can eat it. Is it ideal?
No.
Why not?
Seems to be an Indian.
On Shabbos, absolutely, says the Mishnah Berurah, reminds us of that idea. In Sefkot Memches, Yochol Ochlo, Mikol Mokom Lechatchil, Nochon, Sheniach, Oysa, Lechem Mishneh. Ideally, you keep it for Lechem Mishneh. Be'aves, Friday night, Feshaches, on Shabbos morning, Uve Mincha, and Be'ashal Eshudas, Yivtza Olav, you should eat it on Shabbos Mincha. Why? To given this Abed Bo Mitzvah Chadav, since you made one mitzvah with it, this Abed Boy, you should continue making with it mitzvah chita, a second mitzvah. So there you go. You shouldn't ideally eat it on Friday, but if you did, it doesn't matter. See, if your Zion addresses the question, what happens if a person eats it whilst it's cooking for Shabbos?
It's a mitzvah to eat.
It wasn't that, it wasn't his intention. He was just purely hungry. The question is, can you continue with the cooking now? That's what Shif Yitzhan addresses. Hizchil Beis Sosoi, you started with your dough, Venechal Eruv, and the Eruv was eaten up. Hizchil Beis Sosoi, he started with his dough, Venechal Eruv, and the Eruv was eaten up. So the loch is, Goyme Oiso, so you can complete, you can finish off that dough. And similarly, Vewadin, Imizchil Evashil, if you started cooking, and the Eruv Tavshilin is eaten up. Shegoy Mois Tavshil, you may complete and finish off the dish, Shizchil, which you started cooking. What's the reason for that? Why is it that it's okay to finish off the dish that, although the Eruv has disappeared?
Because you've already started a level of preparation for Shabbos.
Yeah, I think that's the Pshat. Yeah, because you've started already. So goyma oiso, you can complete it. Yeah. Now the Shulchan Aruch in Yud Ches continues and says as follows: Ofa v'loy bishel, if you baked but it didn't cook, oy bishel v'loy ofa, or vice versa, you cooked and it didn't bake. V'neichal eiru v'oy avat. So you want to do two things: you want to bake and cook for Shabbos, but you only did one of the two. V'neichal eiru, and the eiru was eaten up, oy avat, or the eiru got lost. Whatever you've done with the Eruv being around, whether it was the cooking or the baking, hulanicha leShabbos. Whatever you've started doing, you may now keep it for Shabbos. Velevashim lekanva elech liyom tov. So the point being, once you've, in line with what you've said earlier, once you've started a process and the Eruv disappears, you may finish off the process of cooking for Yom Tov. Sif Yutas, we have spoken about already. I'm on top of page 302. Mishloi Eruv, whoever did not make an Eruv, Mutter lehadlik ne'er shal Shabbos, is allowed to light a candle for Shabbos. Fish oysem and some forbid. So as we've discussed, let's go to Mishnah over here. Sif Kot Nun Dalet, third line from the top. Mutter lehadlik. Tadlokas aneir ein zorich eruv. According to some opinions, lighting candles does need an eruv. We discussed yesterday the reason why, but let's continue. But according to these opinions, ein oimer benusach ba'din eruv. According to these opinions, that you don't need an eruv tavshilin for lighting the candles. In line with that, you will not say in the text that you say by the eruv. You will not say ba'din eruv ve'latlukes shoger. So again, we have two opinions as to whether the Hadlokas Ner needs an Erev Tavshin or not. According to opinions that say that you don't need an Erev Tavshin for lighting, you will not need to say the words during the when you say the text. Now, I don't know, I don't know if you look in random Machzerim, I don't know, what do you think? Say Laduk Shag or not?
But why
do
we should not say we should say it just
says the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot Nun Hey, the next one. V'yesh oimrim harbe achronim iskimu de'ik kedeazu. Many authorities hold that you can't light a candle without erev tavshilin. It's awesome. V'lochenu oimrim, and therefore our nusach is the way we state it. We do say penusach baden eruve. We say the words baden eruve. We also say gam ladluk eshaga. We also say lighting a candle. We do say the gam zeh, because also this nitan de eruv. This also requires an eruv. And therefore, yes, indeed, Mishnah Berurah recommends, that's what you should say. You can't lose out by saying it. So it really is, you can't lose out by saying it.
And it's part of Ochel Nefesh, and that's why it requires an
Erev Tavshilin. What do you say that? Since you're saying that perhaps it's not Ochel Nefesh.
Maybe it's separate from...
Why would it be separate? What would be a spell to say it's separate?
It's a mitzvah.
But in terms of the Eichel Nefesh, is a reason why you have to do Melach on Yom Tov. So the fact that it's a mitzvah itself doesn't allow you to do Melach on Yom Tov. It needs more than that. You can't do Melach on Yom Tov just because it's a mitzvah. Right. It's got to be yeah. I must say, I'll check out your machzorim. I don't know all the machzorim. I believe that most Machzorim will say the text of Laduk Eshaga, which on the one hand is the leniency, but it turns out that it's also stringency, because if a person doesn't say it, then he won't be able to light. Pardon? If it doesn't say it, but yeah, because relying on the absolutely, relying on the of, yeah, absolutely, yeah. But in terms of, if you don't, yeah, but we do go with the opinion. It looks like, yeah, what does the Siddur say?
Yeah, it says it.
It says Laduk Eshaga. Yeah, I think most Machzorim do. I've seen it in brackets.
Haven't got it in brackets.
It doesn't have it in brackets.
It says it just normally, without brackets.
Right. And again, as I also checked some older Machzorim, and they do seem to say that, I think most Nuschos do say it. Seif Chof. Mi Shaloi Eirav, somebody did not make an Eirav. Kashem Sha'osa Levash La'atzmoi. So somebody does not make an Eruv, but this is assuming that there is no Rav who included him in his Eruv. So, Mi Shaloi Eruv, somebody did not make an Eruv. Kishem Sha'osa Levash La'atzmoi, just like you know how to cook for yourself. Kach, similarly, also Levash La'acherim, you can't cook for yourself without an Eruv. Can't cook for others without an Eruv too. Va'afilu bevei some, even in their houses. V'gam La'acherim asurim Levash Shaloi. Furthermore, even others cannot cook for me. So if I didn't make an Eruv Tavshilin, can't cook for myself, can't cook for others, and I can't have others cooking for me if I had to make an Eruv Tavshilin. The only option is, Elo, Sheyitein kimchoi, I should give my flour, fetafshiloi my dish, la'achirim, to others, she'evu b'matona, la'achirim she'evu, I give, if I give my food and my dish to somebody else who did make an eruv, I give them as a present for them. They should cook and they bake, and they give it. Then they give it to me, but it's really theirs. That would be fine. So the point is as follows: if I didn't make an eruv tafshilin, I can't cook for Shabbos. Okay, I hear that. Can I cook for others? No, I can't. Can I give my potatoes and my whatever it is? Can I give that to my next door neighbor who has made an eruv tafshilin and say, do you mind to please cook for me? I didn't make an eruv tafshilin. Would that work? I did not make an eruv tafshilin. He did. Can I give my potatoes to him? Please, can you cook me a nice kugel? The answer is no. As long as it's mine, he can't. However, if I give it to him as a present, say, this is yours, you know, this is yours. You may want to give me a nice kugel for present. I always wanted, a nice kartoffel kugel for my birthday, you know. So if it's his, if I give it to him, and he gives it to me as a present, that will be fine. So it's like a kind of a legal loophole. I can't cook. He can't cook with my potatoes. But if it's his potatoes and he wants to give it to me, then fine, that's okay. So what do you think about that?
You can't.
Yeah, absolutely. Say, I'm a bit stuck. a bit stuck. I always want to give you potatoes. You take it, you know, with pleasure. And remember, it's my birthday in 6 months, you know. And, if you want to make me a nice surprise, then by all means.
So with this question, let's say on the Shabbos, you have either family or friends who are not from, and you know that they wouldn't have done an Erev Tafshilin.
Yeah. So what's the shaila? If one thing, where so you they come to your house, 1 second. But you're going to eat for yours.
You're cooking for yourself and for them.
Interesting shaila. You cooked for yourself and for them. Interesting shaila. Let's think about this. You cooked for yourself, but you also cooked for your guests. Now you know those guests did inevitably. They didn't make an eruv tafshilin. They didn't. Is there a problem for you to give them some of your food, knowing very well they have not made an eruv tafshilin? Interesting shaila. Know your thoughts about saying. What do you think? Based on what we're just learning now, you think it's not a problem?
No.
Why?
Because I would say that it's considered a matana, because you would, if it wasn't for, you would still use them. You might freeze that food. There is still a use.
You say there's a use.
Sometimes it's like the loophole of if you start. If you use something, there's loopholes like that where you can make for other people, even if.
And I think I know what you mean, and I think that's the halachah as follows. I think that it's fine. I think in this context it's fine because it's yours. At this stage, it's still yours. That's what as long as it's yours, you can rely on your eruv tafshilin. The fact that you made it for him, you're not intending. In monetary way, it's still yours. It's still yours, right? You didn't give it to them. You invited them, but it's yours. And therefore, it is included in the eruv tafshilin.
And they can still eat.
They can still eat. So yeah. Okay. What if there's nobody around that can do this plan? You can't. There's nobody there. What happens if... Okay. The worst case scenario, you did not make an eruv tafshilin. There's no local law. There's no next door neighbor that you can give it to him, the food and say, cook and it's yours, whatever. Hoping he's going to give it to you in return. That option is also out. What are you going to do now? Are you going to starve on Shabbos?
G7.
Yeah, just go for crackers. What are you going to do? So Shulchan Aruch says a very big chiddush and says, I'm reading the words again, Yesh Oimrim, some say, 2 lines on the bottom, Shemuta lefois betzimtzum pas echot. There is some old that you're allowed to bake betzimtzum literally and virtually pas echot, one loaf of bread, v'levashel and to cook k'dirach as one pot, v'lehadlik and to light ne echot, one candle. So failing without having any Erev Tavshilin, you can still do that very limited, a minimum livable amount. That's what you're allowed to do without Erev Tavshilin.
What's ahead for doing that?
So the Mishnah Berurah says a very interesting reason. In Sifkot Samach Gimel, four lines from the bottom. But Tzimtzum Pas Echot, Hainu Afilu Pas Godol, you can even make a large loaf, that's okay, big challah. Sheyel Dail Lechol Shabbos, which is sufficient for the entire Shabbos, you can do that. V'tirolo, and the reason why it's permitted, B'chol Zeh, why all this permitted is the following reason. B'chol Zeh, K'dei Chayov. So you know, just you got to survive somehow. Mishum, because of Kovat Shabbos, because of the Kovat Shabbos, the respect of Shabbos, you can't be starving, literally starving the whole Shabbos in a dark place without food. So poshut miyesh pas echod shenish leyom tov. However, if you've got one remaining bread, challah, loaf, matzah, which is left over from yom tov, you've got something in the freezer, then obviously also the lefos. Then obviously now to bake. You can't just cook another one, bake another one for lechemesh. Now, Rabbi said, big kula, that if there is really no Erev Tavshilin around, and the Rav didn't make an Erev Tavshilin, so ideally what you should do, you give it to somebody, you know, and tell him that it's his and whatever, and hopefully he's going to get the hint and bake you something. If there's nobody around, no next door neighbor, nothing, what you can do then is the minimum shift. There's nothing in the freezer, nothing at home. We don't want you to lose completely covered Shabbos, not to lose everything. Therefore, Chachamim, we're allowed, you can make one loaf, one food, and one candle. The minimum k'dei chayav, so that you don't lose completely covered Shabbos.
Would this apply to the individual who forgot the second, you know, he relied on the rub the first time and he didn't,
yeah,
and forgot? Is this the way?
I would assume yes. I'd assume yes. K'dei chayav, because yeah, I'd assume yes.
K'dei chayav is the gather of, is as far as Pekach Nefesh?
No. Mr. Wood says a word of covered Shabbos. You don't have to starve to death. You know, you got to be able to eat something.
How is Kovat Shabbos done halacha?
How is Kovat Shabbos? Yeah, that's a good question. Because
it's mitzvah bo avera.
Yeah, so it's not mitzvah bo avera.
You say in Yom Kippur, if you just want to get through Ne'ilah, just have a challah. Just have a
bar. Now, I hear the question. I totally hear the question. See, why would he be permitted over here? We've got over here, lemaisa, an issur d'rabbanan of cooking. Just think like this. Very strictly speak, we've got an issur d'rabbanan of cooking. You're not to cook, you're not to bake. Nobody is right. He's in Kovat Shabbos. Kovat Shabbos is the Rabbanon, Amasa. So Kovat Shabbos is saying, what's the heter? What's the Issa is the Rabbanon? The Issa is the Rabbanon. Issa on cooking on Yom Tov is the Rabbanon. And Kovat Shabbos is also a mitzvah say the Rabbanon. So does one push away the other? No, it's not. So that's an interesting shot. He's saying, why would it be permitted to be push away?
So positive Durban does push away the next
one. Yeah, so not always. Right, but maybe some of that's the approach of here we're going to take. That mitzvah of covered Shabbos, we're talking about the minimum covered Shabbos. We're not talking about extended luxury covered Shabbos, the basics, the absolute basics. We're talking otherwise in a dark room, not eating anything. So in order to avoid that zero covered Shabbos, in order to have some covered Shabbos, that pushes away the Issa d'Rabbanan. The question is a good question. Okay, gentlemen, yeah.
But now probably the light is not so critical as it was back then.
Yeah, but, yeah. Good. Actually, what you're asking is a good question. Is the light that we're allowing, is it light for lighting purpose? For seeing what's going on? Or is it the mitzvah of lighting? Not sure. It's a good question. Yeah, so Pashto is what we're referring to. Really, what the Shulchan Aruch is referring to is not the mitzvah. Is that light to have light? Is to have light in the room? It's really what we're referring to. But so if that's the case, then surely there should be no heter. Now, we've got electricity. There should be no heter to do that. Very good point. Yeah, it's not the mitzvah. It's the light. Okay, gentlemen, we covered this evening. We learned that you may not, even with an heter, you may not cook on first Yom Tov. For Shabbos. We learned also with regards to relying on one Erev Tavshilin for future Yomim Tovim. It's not going to work. Well, no, don't do that. But yeah, but it may do. It may work. If the Erev Tavshilin is beaten up before you've done the cooking, then you're stuck. If you've started the cooking process on Friday, then you can, and the Erev has been eaten up, then it's okay. You can carry on cooking and baking. We've also learned that there's a machlokes with regards to lighting the candle, if that's included in the het of Eichel Nefesh or not. And the Maaseh, we said that most of authorities hold that without Erutav Shinin, you cannot light the candle. We discussed that yesterday as well. We also learned that if a person has got no Erutav Shinin, you cannot cook for yourself, can't cook for others. Others can't cook for you with your food. However, if there's really no option, then what you got to do is you got to ask him to cook with his food, give him presents, whatever. And if that's also not an alternative, if that's also not an option, you can do the base bare minimum, which is one bread, one tafshin, and one light. Okay, this good evening. Really? Yeah. Which one is it? Which hour?
Page
71, 69. Watch out. Yes, Ramosha, Mom is your question. Ramosha, are you allowed to light the candle if there is light in the room? And he says, no, you can't. Very good. Ramosha and Shlomo Zalman. Yeah, also, the poskim hold that you can't. Yeah, very good. Yeah, Ramosha, Avalyasha, Shlomo Zalman. Very good. Okay, very, very interesting. Very good. So that's it. Without Erev Tav Shin, you cannot light even a candle. Once you've got, even if there's electricity in the room, you certainly can't do anything. Very interesting. Very good. Okay. Shkoyach, good evening.